I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to the 90th Psalm.
We're going to go ahead and read the first 10 verses of the 90th Psalm. And so as you find your place there and as you're able, I'd invite you to stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read in Psalm 90, beginning with verse number 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are as but yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. There is a sleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if, by reason of strength, it be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us as we spend a few moments in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we're continuing our study on heaven. Last week we began to consider the subject that heaven is eternal. The previous week we had looked at heaven being an exclusive place. Now we see it's eternal. Last week we saw that we know heaven is eternal based on the promise of God, that He promised it would last forever. This morning I want to consider a second reason in the idea that heaven is eternal, and that is simply that heaven is eternal based on the person of God, based on the person of God, because He is eternal, so will be heaven. And we'll look at a verse here in just a moment, showing us that God dwells in heaven, and if God dwells there, certainly it must be an eternal place, if God is eternal. And so we turn to the pages that we've just read in the 90th Psalm, and the verses that we read are contrasting the existence of man with the existence of God. Now, the existence of God is described for us in verse number 2, especially in the last phrase of that verse when he says, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Now, if we consider the first part of that statement, from everlasting, this causes us to look backwards in time, back beyond the foundation of our nation, back beyond the discovery of what would be called at that time the New World, back beyond the days of the Lord taking on Himself the flesh of a man, back beyond the days of Abraham, back beyond the days of Adam and Eve, beyond the creation of all that we can see, back beyond then when time didn't exist, we have to go back beyond all of that, and God is there. And we can go back as far as can possibly gone back into everlasting and time gone by, and God has always been there. And so when we consider the fact that God is eternal, we know that He's eternal from time before time began. We can't even describe when God began because God had no beginning. He just always has been. It tells us that right here when He says, from everlasting. Now last week we discussed the truth in the Bible that once a soul has been created at conception, that soul will exist for all eternity. That we will never have a time that we will not exist. Whether we exist in heaven or we exist in hell is up to us. That is our choice. But whether we exist in an eternity has already been decided. We had a very precise moment when we came into being. But God never did. God just always has been. But just like us,
being eternal, God too will be eternal. Because he says not only from everlasting, he says to everlasting. And so we move into the future, past the rapture, past the 7-year tribulation, past the return of Christ at what we know as Armageddon, through the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, then comes a great white throne judgment, and God is seated on that still in all of His power and all of His glory. And then we move on into eternity future, and God is still there. God is still eternal. God is still everlasting. And we go as far forward as the mind can imagine and beyond, and God is still there. You see, heaven is eternal based on the person of God because God is eternal. In Genesis chapter 21, verse number 33, we see God being referred to as the everlasting God. In Genesis chapter 21, verse number 33, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And then again, we see the same title in the New Testament in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse number 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see, God is the everlasting God. And heaven, the eternity of heaven, is based on the person of God, the fact that He is eternal. He is everlasting from before time was ever measured, having no beginning, until time is no longer measured, having no ending. God is God. Look at an interesting verse in Isaiah chapter 57 on the subject of God being eternal. Isaiah 57, verse number 15. Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. But that statement made at the beginning part of that verse, that God inhabits eternity. What do you suppose that means when God tells us He inhabits eternity? If you grasp this concept, good for you, because it blows our minds to think about what God is telling us about Himself and His perspective of time. We saw back in the 90th Psalm, it talking about 1,000 years, ours but yesterday, or talks about it being as just simply a watch in the night, which would be probably a 4-hour period of time, possibly a 3-hour, it had different, either 3 or 4, depending what period in history you choose, but nevertheless, a very brief period in the time of a man. God, 1,000 years, it's like that to Him. God has a different concept of time than what we have. And as He tells us here that God inhabits eternity, what He's telling us is that right now, in what we know is the year 2018, God is here. No one would argue with that. We know that God is present with us. But did you realize that right now, at the very same time, at least from God's perspective, certainly not from our perspective, but from God's perspective, God is in the year 1000 B.C. And God is in the day of creation. And God is back before creation. And God is in the future. This is what it means when it says God inhabits eternity. That God, when we consider Him being omnipresent everywhere at the same time, we're thinking of geographic location. But when it tells us that He inhabits eternity, God is omnipresent, not just in that idea of all geographic positions at one time, but also in all chronological positions at the same time. And that's how we can trust our future to Him, because not only does He know what's going to happen, but He's already there to see it happen and to help out where we need our help. God is eternal, and to grasp that concept is not capable for a mortal mind. Perhaps when we get to heaven, we'll begin to understand this concept a little bit more. Maybe after a few billion years, we'll finally be able to get the idea that, hey, this place is never going to fade away. This place is never going to perish. The walls will never crumble down. There'll never be any need of a repairman on my mansion because this place is eternal. It will last forever based on the person of God because He lasts forever. You realize the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is in Hebrews 13:8 the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's exactly what He's talking about, this eternal nature of God. That He never grows old, He never grows weak, He never grows weary, He never develops wrinkles, He never loses His hair or goes gray, He never has memory moments, we call them senior moments. God never has any of that. He's just as sharp today in His mind and His memory and His strength and His power as on that very first day of creation when God declared, "Let there be light." And light shone out of darkness. And when He said, "Let the water or the firmament divide the waters from the waters," and it happened. And God then took the dust of the earth and formed man and breathed into him the breath of life. God is still just as sharp as He was back then, just as powerful He was back then. You see, He never changes. You see, heaven is not a rest home for the aged and infirm. And we'll discuss that more as we get into the study about heaven being an exciting place. When we see what's going on and what we're going to do, we're going to find that heaven is a place of great activity. We're not going to be sitting on a cloud just simply playing a harp. We've got a lot of things to do that are important and that will praise God and that'll be exciting. I can't wait to get there. And I'm not in a hurry, but I can't wait to get there. One of my granddaughters put her own shoes on for the first time this morning. I like being able to see those pictures. I like having phones. Well, I couldn't imagine living back in the day before that. Now, even though you're nowhere near, you can keep up. But you see, heaven is an exciting place and an eternal place because God is eternal. Now in Psalm 90, as God is contrasting His eternal nature with our temporal nature, He goes through many different ways of describing the brevity of our life. And He talks there in verse number 10 about the days of our years being 70 years, 70 or maybe 80 by reason of strength. Think about it. This life is so short. And it's not presented necessarily in a very pretty picture here in the 90th Psalm, but what God is trying to tell us here, He's trying to forewarn us that we might spend our time living for this world that's going to pass away in such a brief period of time. Why don't we invest in eternity? Why don't we spend more time developing those things that will earn us reward? And one of our future studies will be on those things we can earn for heaven. Why are we so short-sighted? Why are we so captivated by this brief vapor that appears for a brief time and then vanishes? I imagine the angels in heaven cannot comprehend that short-sightedness of man, even the very best of man in their short-sightedness. You see, heaven is an eternal place, based not only on the promise of God, but also on the person of God. But also on the presence of God. Let's move on just a little bit. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. There's a lot of good things to think about in heaven. And we could turn, we're not going to, but we could turn to the book of Revelation. And we could spend some time studying what God has described heaven to be like for us. You know, those gates of pearl, those things always amaze me. The pure water of the river of life, that amazes me to see a river like that. To see the tree of life there that bears 12 manner of fruit. Boy, doesn't that kind of stir your curiosity? And that bears that fruit every month? Doesn't that stir your curiosity?
and to see the throne that God is seated upon, and that rainbow that's around the throne, and that golden avenue, all these things pique our curiosity, and we can't wait to get there and see all those things. But what makes heaven heaven? Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." You see, heaven is eternal based on God's presence. He'll dwell there for eternity. Here we see his throne being forever and ever. Over in Revelation chapter 21, we have this throne described for us, or at least mentioned for us a couple of times there at the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 21, the first three verses. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold," now notice this, what's declared, "the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Make no mistake, in heaven, God is going to set up that everlasting, eternal throne. The one who dwells for everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, will be seated on that throne, and we will be dwelling there with him. That is what will make heaven heaven, as we're able to view our Savior face to face, as we're able to gaze upon the print of the nails in his hands and his feet, as we'll be able to see the imprint of the thorns in his brow, and we'll realize that it's our sin that put those marks on his eternal, everlasting body. And we'll fall down and worship and praise him for all eternity for what he's done for us. You see, his throne is there. Over in chapter 22, verse number 3, it tells us this again. "And there shall be no more there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." Talking about heaven, this new city, "and his servants shall serve him." You see, the eternity of heaven is based not just on the promise of God, not just on the person of God, but also on the presence of God. And that's what makes heaven heaven. And I can't wait to get to heaven and visit with some of my ancestors and see how they lived and how they came to Christ and their journey to heaven. But that's just going to be a sideshow, so to speak, when it comes to heaven. I believe our attention is going to be focused on this throne on which our Savior is seated. Because of these things, and this is kind of the idea that we have in the 90th Psalm, but look in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. You see, heaven is eternal. This life is just but a moment. God gives us some advice in regards to this. "If ye then be risen with Christ," Colossians 3:1, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And in case you didn't quite figure out what he's talking about, look at verse number 2. "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Now, why should we do that? Well, look at verse number 3. "For ye are dead." Now, I don't feel like I'm dead. Do you feel like you're dead? I don't think so. We wouldn't be here this morning if you felt like you were dead. But God nevertheless says it as a statement of fact, "Ye are dead," but he doesn't end there. He says, "Your life is hid with Christ in God." And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You see what he's telling us here? He says there's coming a day when we'll leave this old world behind. These worlds will be dissolved with a fervent heat. The Bible tells us that. They're only temporary. We kind of saw an allusion to that in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1. The fact that we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no sea in that new earth. These old things are just temporary. We kind of talked about this last week. But he says there's coming a day when we'll leave all this behind.
We're dead, so to speak, to these things, and our life is found in Christ who died on the cross for us and regenerated us at the moment of salvation. Because of this new life and because of the fact that we'll appear with Him in glory and spend all eternity with God in heaven, He says, don't fall in love with the world. He says, fall in love with heaven. That's what He says when He says, set your affection on things above. He says, fall in love with heaven. When's the last time you spent a few moments just dwelling on heaven and what heaven will be like? Looking in the book of Revelation, and we'll do this in future studies. I'm going to try to assist you to meditate on these for a little while. But getting ahead of myself, just dwelling on the one on whose face we'll see. You see, so often when we think of Jesus Christ, what we think of when we try to picture Him in our minds, we think of this portrait painted by the Romans with this long, flowing, girly brown hair. I don't want to disappoint you, but the fact is, Jesus didn't have long, flowing, light brown, girly hair. Now, that may shock you and that may disappoint you, but He was a Jew. Jews didn't have long, flowing, girly, light brown hair. Jesus had man hair, which means it was short. The Bible tells us that it's a shame. Nature tells us it's a shame for a man to wear his hair long. Look in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11. The Bible makes it very clear. Jesus isn't going to walk around with girly hair. And His hair was dark and coarse, like a Jew's hair was. If you want to know what Jesus looked like, look at the first chapter of Revelation. When John is on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day, and Jesus then declares the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of St. John the Divine, as some Bibles label it. That's what Jesus looks like. That's who we'll see in heaven. Not this girly-haired Roman-looking dude with a little pointy beard, which again was a Roman style, not Jewish style. Jews didn't trim the corner of their beards. Much different from what we normally picture them. Set your affection on those things. We're going to study the crowns. Take some time and study the crowns. If you have a good study Bible, somewhere in there it's going to tell you what five crowns the Christian can earn. Set your affection on those things and what it takes to earn those crowns. Because you see, heaven's an eternal place. Now, some of you have already gone past those 80 years we read about in Psalms. God has given you extra strength. But even at that, life is short compared to eternity. So why do we fall in love with the world when God says, fall in love with heaven, where you'll appear with Him in glory forever and forever? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Father, we're so grateful that You've prepared heaven for us. What a blessing it'll be one day when You call us up thither to be with You for all eternity. But Father, in the meantime, help us to set our affections there. Father, we know it's easy to set our affections on the things of the earth because we can see them and touch them and feel them and smell them and sense them with our five senses, but to see the things in heaven, it takes faith in those things that we cannot see. So, Father, this morning, help us to determine to set our affection on eternity. And we'll give You the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.